Psalm 19. I'm going to start by reading a few verses in Psalm 19 this morning. In your notes, it'll be page 20. We'll start on page 20 for those of you that have your notes on the class. And of course, we're continuing our study entitled Hold Firm to the Foundation, A Defense of the King James Bible. If I could have a couple of men to hand out some brochures again this morning, I'd sure appreciate that and all. And one per family. And we've tried to give these out each week and all. We've got given out several. We still have got several to go, so we'll continue to give these out. So we trust that that'll be a blessing to you and help you in the study. While you're finding your place and before we actually get started here, let me make one correction that I mentioned last week. Folks, one of my goals in this course is to try my best to be accurate in everything that is said. There's a lot of factual things that have been and will be. Most of the factual things are actually out in front of us. We haven't even got to them yet. Last week, though, I made the comment about manuscripts, and I use this phrase. We have to go back and listen to it. But I did make this statement. I said there are approximately 6,000 existing manuscripts. When I use the word 6,000, sometimes I have a problem. I can't always think and talk at the same time, you know, and all. I have a problem with that. So I meant to say 5,000 instead of 6,000. There are actually about 5,656 existing manuscripts. I rounded it up to 6,000 instead of down to 5, and I wanted to make that correction. I should have said over 5,000 if I wasn't going to give the exact number, and I want to try to be accurate because as we go forward, I don't want you coming back and saying, well, Brother Kirkpatrick, you said way back when that there was this many of this, and now you're saying there's this many. So I wanted to make that correction. Of those manuscripts, of course, this is not what I'm teaching on this morning. They're actually in three different categories. Those 5,656 manuscripts are made up of what's called uncials. They're made up of another kind of a manuscript that is called a cursive. And they're also made up of what is called lectionaires or lectionaries. So when we talk about those 5,656 manuscripts, they are actually made up of a combination of three different sources, and we will be talking about those in the days ahead. We'll begin our thoughts this morning now by reading Psalm 19 and verse number 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Brethren, this morning is the last Sunday in the month of May. All of you knew that, I know. The significance of that is this. 400 years ago this month, the King James Bible was put in print. 400 years ago, this month. So this will be the last month that the last day of the month in the month that actually marks the 400th anniversary that we'll get to teach on this subject, but I count it a great privilege. Some way or another, I don't think I'll probably be teaching on this on the 500th anniversary of the King James Bible, but we'll just have to wait and see about that. But anyway, I thank God for the Word of God this morning. The portion that I've read to you this morning in Psalm 19, the words of God are pure and righteous and right altogether. How we ought to thank God that God has allowed you and I to live in a day when we have the privilege of possessing the greatest complete Bible that the world has ever known. Folks, there's never been a copy of the Word of God, a completed copy of the Word of God, that has been used of God as greatly as the King James Bible has been used. Faith or doubt is the topic that we're in the middle of right now. Last week we talked about doubt makes a choice, and we're going to try to finish that up this morning and talk about faith a little bit this morning. But in last week, I won't reteach that, but primarily we're dealing with those who, in doubt makes a choice, we're dealing with those who created the critical text. Now remember, the critical text is that basis from which all the other versions come from other than the King James Bible. Now, when we talk about the critical text, we're talking about something that is past for the most part. We're talking about something that's already happened. In my way of thinking, it's not very hard at all to understand the approach of those that created the critical text. I've mentioned it many times. Those people wrote books. We know what they believed. They tell us what they believe. They tell us what they didn't believe. There's just no question about it, folks. We know exactly where they stood. The harder question is this, though. The harder question is the question that you and I are confronted with every day on this Bible version issue, and that is, why do those among us, folks that are our family, folks that are our friends, people that we work with, folks, I'm talking about people that we love greatly, people that we love, and in many cases, people that we love to be around, why do they forsake the true Word of God, the King James Bible, and go to a critical text version? Why do they do that? Well, that's what I want to pursue this morning. That very thought this morning. We could ask some questions here. Are they saved or lost? Was it a decision based in ignorance or on knowledge? When somebody turns away from the King James Bible and decides to pick up a critical text version, whichever one it may be, when they decide to do that, did they make that decision based on some actual understanding or some actual information, or did they do it completely and absolutely in ignorance? Now, I'm not trying to be ugly this morning, but I'm going to pursue this thought and share it with you so that maybe we can come to a clear understanding of it. It is my belief that at least at the beginning, the vast majority that turn from the King James Bible and go to a critical text version do it from absolute ignorance. Now, I'm not being ugly. I'm not calling people ignorant. I'm using the word ignorance in what it means. It means a lack of knowledge. I believe that most people do it simply because they've never studied the subject. It goes something like this. Well, this preacher said that he likes the NIV or the NASV or the Holman Christian Classic Version. And they say, oh, well, that's a pretty good preacher. He's a preacher of a pretty good church. And if he likes that, I guess I'll get me one. And they've never studied the subject. They don't have a clue about anything that we're talking about. By the way, folks, the things that we're talking about in this class, when we're done, whenever that is, if the Lord tarries his coming, whenever that is, I want you to know you're going to have way more information than seminary graduates have on this topic. I graduated from Bible college, and I didn't get any of the stuff that I'm talking to you about when I was in Bible college. I didn't go to seminary. I have talked to people and read after people that are seminary graduates, and you know what they say? They say, I didn't get any of this stuff when I was in seminary. By the time we're finished, the information that you'll have before you is far greater than they're being given in any of the Bible colleges and the seminaries in the land. We don't want to think bad of folks that go to a critical text version. I'm going to proceed now on this basis. I'm going to proceed by assuming that those that we know, our family, our friends, our acquaintances, They say that they're saved. They say that they know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. I'm going to accept that. It's not my judgment anyway. I'm going to accept that, and I'm going to proceed this morning on the basis that the people that I'm talking about have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, and yet they have still forsaken the true Word of God, the King James Bible, and gone to a critical text version. Why did they do it? Wow. Every saved person can and should, now listen, every saved person can and should accept the King James Bible as the Word of God. To know the truth, one must continue in God's Word, and one must be willing to obey what God says. You can believe, now watch, you can believe if you choose to believe. I want to make another statement. Some will perhaps think I'm a little harsh here, but I want you to listen very closely. To accept a critical text version is a step of doubt and not a step of faith. Now, did you get that? To accept a critical text version, a version other than the King James Bible, is a step of doubt and not a step of faith. It is a step away from God and not a step toward God. Folks, if you've studied the subject, I believe that's unmistakable, and I don't believe that that can be rebuked at all. To accept a critical text version is a step of doubt, and it's not a step of faith. Folks, it's a step of doubt when you say, well, wait a minute, maybe the King James Bible is not the Word of God. I will go to one of these other versions. We've already showed you where that goes. Even the people that created the text from which those other versions come from say that we don't have and are never going to have the true Word of God. You can believe if you want to believe. John 7:17, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, now watch, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Folks, you can believe in the and have confidence in the Word of God if you choose to do so. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The Bible says if you obey the Word of God and live in obedience to the Word of God, you can have confidence in the Word of God. You can believe, anybody can believe and have confidence in the Word of God if they just simply choose to do so. Why do people choose a critical text version? One reason they do is because of a lack of spiritual strength. Now, the Bible exhorts us in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2, 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow by thereby. And Ephesians 4, 15 says, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. In all of these portions, the Bible speaks of this thing of growing and maturing as a child of God. I submit to you this morning that many people choose a critical text version over the King James Bible because of a lack of spiritual maturity in their life. They simply are not grounded in the Word of God and in the things of God. Why is that? There's a lot of reasons. Number one, they hadn't been saved very long. We all understand that. Folks, I didn't get saved. You've heard my testimony many times. I didn't get saved till I was 19 years old. I had no background, church background whatsoever. I grew up my entire life in the Bible Belt, and yet, I almost never attended church. I knew nothing of God, the things of God, and knew nothing of the Word of God. And when I got saved at age 19, the only thing I knew about the Bible was the gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ went to Calvary's cross, paid the penalty for my sins, was buried and rose again on the third day. I knew what the Bible said about sin, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and I believed what the Bible said, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. When I got saved on February, I knew about the Bible. I'm saying that some people will go to a critical text version because of a lack of spiritual strength. That lack of spiritual strength could be because they hadn't been saved long. It could be because after getting saved, they were not in an environment where they were being taught the Word of God. Or it could be that after they got saved, they've continued to dabble in sin in their life, and that sin has kept them from growing as they should have. Whatever the reason is, I believe that one of the reasons that many people will turn from the King James Bible to a critical text version is a lack of spiritual strength. A lack of spiritual strength causes people to doubt the Word of God. I'm on the top of page 22 now in your notes. Another reason why people will turn to a critical text version is because of peer pressure. You say, Brother Kirkpatrick, good night. Peer pressure? We're all adults in here. We're not talking about to children and to teenagers this morning. Folks, I want you to know, adults are just as subject to peer pressure as young people are. As a matter of fact, in certain areas and at certain stages of our life, we're even more susceptible to peer pressure than children. And boy, this will get me in trouble. Preachers are some of the worst that I know of in this matter of succumbing to peer pressure. Preachers are some of the worst that I know of to give in to the pressure, the peer pressure that comes with being in their certain preacher's fellowship or within their certain denominational affiliation. Preachers just get all caught up in it sometimes, and they just plain old cave in to the pressure around them. You see, the Bible is specific about this, that the people that we hang around with have an effect on us. Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. You see, some people actually will give up the King James Bible and go to a critical text version because family or friends, or in the case of preachers, the group around them has surrendered the true Word of God and went to a counterfeit Bible, and they give in to the peer pressure and they go to it themselves. Let me read you something very quickly. This is in Dr. Edward F. Hill's book, Believing Bible Study, page 192. Erasmus was about to publish the Greek text. Remember, Erasmus, we hadn't got there yet. We will get there, Lord willing. Erasmus was the first to put in printing what we now know as the Textus Receptus, the Greek text from which our King James Bible comes. Erasmus gathered together all the manuscripts that had dated all the way back to the early church, and he was the first one. He didn't create it. Please understand, Erasmus didn't create that text. He simply compiled it and printed it for the first time. The printing press had been invented in the 1500s when this happened. Erasmus was about to come out with the first printed version of what is now known as the Textus Receptus. It was not known as the Textus Receptus then. When it was going to come out, in 1514, Martin Dorp of the University of Louvain wrote to Erasmus asking him not to publish his forthcoming Greek New Testament. Dorp argued, now listen very carefully, Dorp argued that if the Vulgate contained falsifications, now the Latin Vulgate, for hundreds of years, the Vulgate was written by, the Latin Vulgate to which I refer was written by a man named Jerome. The Vulgate was the Bible of the Roman Catholic Church for hundreds of years. Dorp argued that if the Vulgate contained falsifications, and it did, of the original scriptures and errors, the church would have been wrong for many centuries, which was impossible. Now, he argued, this guy argued that Erasmus should not print the Greek New Testament from which we get our King James Bible because it differed from the then existing Bible of the Roman Catholic Church, the Latin Vulgate. And if that Greek text was printed and it showed all the errors in the Vulgate, then that would mean that they would have to admit that they had been wrong for hundreds of years and they just simply couldn't do that. I'm talking about peer pressure here. I'm talking about pride. You see, sometimes folks will give in and compromise the Word of God because of peer pressure, and even when confronted with the fact that they're wrong, they refuse to reverse the decision because pride then takes over, and they just don't want to admit that they were wrong and they made a bad decision. I am not trying to be hard, folks. I'm trying to be absolutely honest on this issue and try to help us to understand what's going on. The deception of Satan causes people to give up the Word of God. The Bible says in John 8:44 that he's a liar and the father of lies, talking about Satan. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, it says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. You see, the devil gets in there, and now I know a lot of the things I'm talking about are in combination. The lies of the devil, of course, work very well with spiritual immaturity. Before we're grounded in the things of God, the devil will come alive and lie to you about it, and you don't have the spiritual knowledge if you're not in a situation where you've got spiritual folks that you can go to for help. Satan can get an advantage of you. Satan will come to you and he'll lie and he'll tell you something like this. By the way, he's doing this every day. He'll come by and there'll be some preacher that's dressed really good and he's got a good church as far as the world's concerned. He's on the radio. He's written books. This preacher comes along and he says, well, you know, that the King James Bible is not based on the oldest and best manuscripts, and it's outdated in its language, and because of that, you'd probably be better off to go to, well, we'd have to turn to our list. There's actually hundreds of them. I don't know which one he might pick on that, but you'd be better off to go to one of those. Anything, in other words, what he's saying to you, anything but the King James Bible. Anything but the King James Bible. That's how Satan does it. Satan will come along, he'll lie to you, say, you know, you're going to look like you're ignorant. You're going to look like you're ignorant if you just try to stand by the King James Bible. If you say that you believe that the King James Bible is the true Word of God, people are just going to think you're a dummy. They're going to think you don't have enough sense to know about all the modern scholarship. Boy, on and on it goes. Some people turn away because of the lies of the devil. Some people turn away because of the deceit and the hardening effects of sin. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13 talks about the deceitfulness of sin. And 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9 talks about the blinding effects of sin. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Folks, there's a lot of reasons why somebody would turn from the King James Bible to a critical text version. They may do it out of just more than anything else, and keep in mind all these things, most of the time these things work in combination. They may do it just from absolute ignorance. They just accepted something that was wrong without studying themselves. They may do it because of spiritual immaturity. They may do it because of peer pressure. They may do it because of the deceit of Satan, or they may do it because sin has been in their life unconfessed and they've just become so hardened and so blinded to spiritual realities around them that spiritual things no longer have any real meaning to them. But I must add one other. Up until now, I have presented this based on the fact that we're talking about people that are born again. We're talking about people that are saved, that are going to go to heaven when they die. But there's one thing other that I have to add here in order to be complete. And that is, some people just don't take a stand for the Word of God, the King James Bible, because they don't have a living relationship with the living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't really care about standing for the Bible because they don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Oh, they're religious, and they may even be a church member. But because they don't know Jesus as their Savior, they certainly don't care about standing firm for the authority of the Word of God. And that may be the case. Oh, my. Whatever it is, it's a step away from God and not a step toward God. Page 23, faith makes a choice. I want to start out by making another statement here as I then will progress with my thoughts. I believe that any person who is truly born again and therefore indwelled by the Spirit of God will accept the King James Bible as the true Word of God as long as they don't listen to any outside influence. Could I say that again? I believe that any person that is truly born again and therefore indwelled by the Spirit of God will accept the King James Bible as the true Word of God as long as they don't listen to any outside influence. Folks, I believe that. I believe that the Spirit of God will reveal to every born-again child of God that this is indeed the true Word of God. Folks, you can't deny that which is absolutely true. For 400 years, God has sanctioned this from on high. For 400 years, God has blessed this as His Word. There's not a person in this room. There's not a person in this room that has ever heard of any great spiritual movement toward the Lord Jesus Christ and toward the things of God that wasn't accomplished by God using the King James Bible. Not a one. Folks, God has testified to its authenticity and its accuracy and its infallibility and its inerrancy. This is the Word of God. Simply yield to the indwelling Spirit, He'll give you confidence in the Word of God that is unshakable. Folks, just yield to it. John chapter 16, verses 13 through 15, the Spirit of truth is going to guide you into all truth. Jesus said in John 7, 16 and 17, Jesus answered them and said, My doctrine is not mine, but His that sent me. If any man will do His will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God, whether I speak of myself. Child of God, if you're in doubt, You've read stuff. Folks, I understand. There are people that are truly born again that are genuinely troubled over this issue. I understand that. Here's what you need to do. If you're born again and you're troubled over this issue, you need to yield yourself totally to the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to say, this is it, God. I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do, God. I want to be in your perfect will. I want to do exactly what you want me to do in my life. And folks, if you'll do that, the Spirit of God will come and speak peace to your heart and give you confidence in the Word of God. I want to ask you a question. Why in the world would we turn away from the King James Bible, the true Word of God, just because some supposedly educated fella tells us that there's something wrong with it, that it's got errors in it or whatever else they may say? Why would we do that? Now, I want to ask you a series of questions here. Do you doubt the work of God in creation because scientists deny it? I hope the answer is no. Folks, I don't care what the scientists say. It doesn't make a bit of difference in the world to me how educated they are. When they stand up and say that the world that we know and life as we know it evolved, we know based on the Word of God that that's not true. We know that that's a lie. We're not moved by that because a highly educated scientist denies it. Do you doubt the miracles of the Bible because infidels deny them? No. Well, what if some guy stands up and says, well, you know good and well that a man can't get swallowed by a fish and live and get vomited out on the dry ground. You know good and well that a man couldn't be thrown into a den of lions and God protect him over. You know, folks, does it matter to us? No. It doesn't matter. I do believe that Jonah was swallowed by the fish. I've been fishing for that fish all my life. I never have caught him yet. But I believe that. I believe that Jonah... No, wait a minute. It wasn't Jonah got thrown in the den of lions, was it? No, it was Daniel. I believe that Daniel got thrown into the den of lions and that God protected him. I believe that. I believe all the miracles of the Bible. And you know what? It doesn't affect me a bit when somebody says, you have to be so dumb. You have to be so gullible to say that you believe that God could do that. That's impossible. How much effect does that have on you? I hope it's the same effect it has on me. And that's that much. Absolutely none. Folks, it doesn't bother me a bit. Wow. Do you doubt the spiritual transformation that takes place at salvation because the apostate scoffs at it? No, I don't. Why not? Because I've been born again. When I was 19 years old, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. God made me a new creature. I know that the Spirit of God came and took His abode with me. I know that I'm on my way to heaven. It doesn't matter what they say about it. I'm still just going to believe it just like I always have. Wow. Do you doubt the return of Christ because unbelievers say that He won't come? Does it make any difference to me that this guy in North Carolina just said on the 21st of this month at 6 o'clock that Judgment Day was going to come? I had the privilege. I'm kind of thankful for that in one way. I had a truck driver to come into the shop and he was talking about it. And I had a chance to witness to him about the Lord Jesus Christ. I said, the only thing I know for sure is that Jesus is not coming at 6 o'clock on the 21st. I said, but sir, He may come before then. And what you need to do is make sure you know Jesus Christ is your Savior so that you're ready when He comes. Folks, it didn't make any difference to me that they scoff about the second. People say, oh, my grandfather was talking about that and everybody. So what? Does it make any difference to us? I hope not. It doesn't make any difference to me. I know most of you, it doesn't make any difference to you. You believe that. Now, if all that's true, and I believe it is, why would we doubt the inspiration, the infallibility, the inerrancy of the King James Bible just because some highly educated religious apostate says that it's not the Word of God. It makes no spiritual sense whatsoever, folks. This is the Word of God. I've known about this issue, I've mentioned all of my life. But I would say this. God revealed to me through the Scriptures that Christ is glorious, that sin is horrible, and that salvation is the eternal solution to the problem of sin. And I just believe that if you yield to the Spirit of God, that God will reveal to every believer exactly what He's revealed to me. Folks, faith ignores all outside influence and simply does what it knows to be right. On page 24 of your notes, a couple of years back, here at Philadelphia Baptist Church, during a preaching service, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart about this subject. I wrote down a little outline. I put it in exactly the same form here in your notes that I wrote it down that night. It's on a piece of paper. I just switched Bibles, and I don't have it. I say here that I still carry it in the back of my Bible. I still got it in the back of the Bible that I just quit carrying. The one that's got the corrections in it that need to be made, y'all know I shared that with you. I'll be bringing it back because we're going to go back to that again later on. But I was thinking about this matter of the Word of God, and here's what I wrote down. I wrote, standing for God's Word, and I put three things. I put me in an increasingly small group. Folks, standing for the Word of God will put you in an increasingly small group. Now, in reference to the world, but could I just say something here, because I don't want to discourage you by this. We're talking about a small group, and you say, well, Brother Kirkpatrick, yeah. Listen, folks, you realize there's about 15,000 independent fundamental Baptist churches in the United States of America today. About 15,000 independent fundamental Baptist churches in the United States today. Did you realize that this morning while I'm teaching this, that the vast majority of those 15,000 independent Baptist churches still hold to the authority of the King James Bible. It does put us in a smaller group as far as the world's concerned, but there's still a lot of folks that haven't bowed the knee to Baal at this point in time. Thank God for it. I wrote down further that standing for Bible makes me the object of jokes and sneers. You see, in those intellectual circles where they're promoting the critical text versions, they laugh at you for staying with the King James Bible. They say, well, you're just not educated. That's kind of unusual, isn't it? They want to tell me that I'm not educated for standing for the King James Bible, and yes, I believe that the vast majority of people that leave the King James Bible do it in ignorance. Boy, something about that doesn't add up. But anyway, standing for God's Word labels me as extreme and ignorant. I ask, that was the second part of the outline I jotted down. The first one was standing for God's Word. The second thought I wrote down it was, I ask, once you start, where do you end? Folks, you've got a list in your notes now of 100 and something versions from 1881 until now. When we get to that, I'm going to share with you, did you realize that there's actually almost, are you ready for this? There's almost 500 English versions of the Bible. Almost 500. Now, I want to ask, once you depart from the King James Bible, where are you going to stop? If you had gone sometime back to the New International Version, you had a 1984 model. Well, they've changed it now. They just came out this year with their 2011 model, and it's different than your 1984 model. Where are you going to stop, folks? If you leave the true Word of God, where are you going to go? Which one of those 500, almost 500, which one of them are you going to accept as the Word of God? You need to ask yourself the question before you start. Which one is the right one for the foundation of all faith? Now, I put it down just like I put it in my notes that night. This is not correct. It says they print another one every day. Folks, they don't print another one every day. You understand? I printed this for you exactly like I wrote it down. They don't print another one every day. but they are printing right now, based on today's amount, the speed that they're coming out, they are printing about 4 to 5 new versions every year. Every year, there are 4 or 5 new versions coming out. I believe, and some will think this is hard, I believe that once an individual or church begins to compromise on the Bible, that they'll eventually compromise on anything. Use the churches. I'm out of time. Use the churches that have turned from the King James Bible. Let me tell you what kind of happens. Here's a progression. Sometimes it takes many years. The churches that turn away from the King James Bible are the same ones that before too long, a few years down the road if they haven't already, they're the ones that go to CCM, contemporary Christian music, rather. You can't tell it from country music. Contemporary Christian music. They're the ones that after a while, they're the ones that begin to have dances, literally, in their auditoriums. Those that depart from the King James Bible are the ones that begin a progression in the life of that church, and that progression doesn't get closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. That progression takes them further and further and further away from the things of God. Folks, it's a dangerous thing. When you turn away from the Word of God, the King James Bible, a progression starts that'll be carried out by the world and the flesh and the devil that'll cause that person to get further and further and further away from God. Thank God for His Word. We can know it. We've got it. Let's believe it. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.